17 minutes past 1 o'clock on EAA Radio. I'm Afterburner Al. This is the Aviation Journalist Roundtable, the second annual. I'm happy to welcome back Tom Haynes, as editor of AOPA Pilot, and, of course, Mac McClellan, editor of Flying Magazine. We're talking about some of the issues from the previous year in aviation. And one thing that has just come out in the last couple of weeks that everybody is kind of looking over and poring over and trying to figure out exactly what it means is the 51% rule was revised by the FAA. Now, it had EAA has lobbied for revisions of the proposal, and they were trying to get clarification to exactly what it meant. Tom, what were your impressions of this revision? Did it help anything? Did it really change anything?
No, I don't think it really helped much. It confused a lot of things. I mean, there's certainly potential there to further clarify what it is that somebody's allowed to do or not allowed to do. I think it really needs to go back to the beginning. What was the intent when the regulations were first created? What is it that that people should be able to experience when they build their own airplane? And what's the limitation there? And when have you crossed that line? And I don't know if it's ever going to be completely defined, but the important thing is that people should be able to have the experience of building an airplane themselves and understanding how an airplane comes together. I'm not sure that they have to necessarily build every rib and do every stitch on a fabric-covered airplane and bend every piece of metal that it takes to put an airplane together to understand and get the experience of what it's like to build an airplane. Certainly there have been situations over the last few years where some of the fast build programs have probably crossed a line and gone beyond almost into the aircraft manufacturing business, which of course is another whole set of regulations. So I don't think that the new rule as it has come out really completely satisfies that and explains what you can and can't do.
The new rule calls for more documentation during a build. You kind of spoke about that. And that the builder personally fabricated and assembled 20% of the aircraft. And in your experience, Mac, how many people are really close to that violation? Are they chasing after a small group but making a big smoking fire about it?
Well, there are conflicts in the whole concept of home building. And, of course, originally home building was a from-scratch project where people built traditional airplanes with welded tube and wood and those materials. As the new materials came along, it was clear that a production facility could make a more reliable and more airworthy part than a person using composites and other high-tech materials in their garage. So that's a good thing. The conflict is, though, is that it could circumvent the certification rules and be a manufactured airplane where the builder did not participate at a high enough level to achieve the goals of education and recreation and invention. So I think the FAA is trying to resolve those conflicts. I don't know that this rule does it. It certainly comes closer. No one in the, forget the early days, even in the last 20 years, imagined home-built jets with a number of passengers or other high-speed, high-performance, large, heavy airplanes. And being built in a factory with factory assistants where the builder goes there rather than bringing the materials to his home or his hangar clearly is a different concept. And I for one, want to see the FAA crack down on that. And I think the only way we can preserve home building is to stay closer to its original intent. And certainly you can look around here at Oshkosh and see some very slick, high-performing airplanes. They just happen to often be single or two-seat airplanes, not large, heavy turbines.
When you say crack down, do you mean eliminate?
Eliminate.
The support from the factory where you go to a site and build an airplane there.
I think that crosses the line. For me personally, the idea that manufacturing of the airplane is complex enough that it can't take place in the individual builder's shop or hangar.
I think I disagree that an elimination, certainly there's a line that gets crossed there when you do that. But from a safety standpoint, I mean, we have to acknowledge that home building has moved beyond real simple basic airplanes, and I suppose you could argue that it needs to go back to that. But the fact is that these high performance complex airplanes are out there, and from a safety standpoint, that it makes a lot more sense for these people to be building them in a controlled environment with the proper tools. Somebody watching over them who's been through that process before, all the documentation and photographs and everything else, I don't think is going to make up for having a guy help you who has been through that process before. Exactly where do you draw that line? I mean, I think that's certainly open for debate.
I mean, do you see I know certain like engine manufacturers have, you can go there and they help you with your overhaul of your engine. And I'm sure that spreads out to other portions of the airplane. Do you envision seeing something along that line where there's factory-sponsored build centers where you still have the support, but yet you're still building it yourself?
I think that's as far as it should go, is because if we, as an activity, want these very high-performance airplanes, high-flying, pressurized, heavy machines, that's the question. Those obviously need more than one in a jillion home builders can provide in terms of talent and skill and experience. But to preserve home building, we need to keep the public safe. And a tenet of certification of all kinds of airplanes is, what kind of risk does it bring to those who are not involved? And the larger and faster and heavier an airplane becomes, the greater the risk to the people on the ground who are not participating in our activity. It's okay to kill ourselves in the public's view, but what we can't do is harm anyone else. And so I, for one, would like to see some clear lines drawn on the size, weight, and ultimate speed of home builds. And that would do more than percent of participation and others to keep the activity within a bounds where we don't threaten others.
Here's kind of a side to the 51% rule, because you do talk about the fact that size, speed, and weight probably, you know, that is inherent in the airplane design. But maybe depending on what kind of sophistication you install on your airplane panel, maybe you're required to have so much training before you can fly with the glass cockpits and so on and so forth. Where do you think that part of the FAA monitoring the build of an airplane should step in?
That's a whole other argument, I think, the whole training side of it, because definitely we've seen quite a number of accidents of these high-performance airplanes, and too often either on first flight or very early in the life of the airplane, and often when the pilot, the owner or builder, has little experience with it. So certainly there are opportunities around the industry coming together and developing more stringent training requirements.
Could that be a consensus standards type thing with the sport pilot, as opposed to the 51% rule, which is more of a regulatory?
I don't know. I mean, if you think about certification rules for conventional certified airplanes, they intend to protect the non-participant. That's why in Flying Part 91 we have a great deal of freedom in small airplanes. As the airplane gets larger, it becomes more and more restricted, no matter whether you're carrying paying passengers or not. And the rules require trade-offs of safety versus ultimate performance. A small wing will have less drag than a larger wing, but a small wing at some point won't meet the certification stall requirement. Therefore, if something bad happens, that airplane is going to hit the ground at a much higher speed than the conventional airplane with a larger wing. I don't think any of us, I certainly don't want to see those kinds of restrictions on the home built designs and to stifle the ingenuity of builders and designers. But if the entire thing can be kept to a certain size and energy, kind of the way the LSA is, we've traded less training and less regulation for less of a threat to others. I think the home build movement needs to be the same way, is to give up something in order to keep freedom within these restrictions.
Do you think some of the reaction to this rule is the fact that their own ingenuity may have been, they felt like they were challenged by the fact that it's going to be not necessarily more difficult, but certainly many more hoops in order just to get a project going?
Well, I think the FAA has been looking at this for a long time. They've been concerned about the way the 51% rule has evolved, and more manufacturing taking place in dedicated facilities. The quick build kits are all leaving behind the concept of education and recreation and being the objectives rather than having the finished airplane. In a way, flying the home build at the end isn't anticlimactic, of course, but it is not the dominant part or the dominant interest a home builder of days past has. You know, builders, yes, they're pilots too, but often they're builders. You know, we all know many people here who build an airplane, fly it for a little bit, sell it, build another one. Clearly, those people are participating in the activity the way it was originally intended.
We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to the Aviation Journalist Roundtable on EAA Radio.